here and you scan your life, and you see an area that needs fixing, the only reason why we go through MOR is for the doctor to see what area of the body needs fixing. I'm asking you right now, there is a doctor in the house. His name is Jesus. The only question left, are you willing to go through the MOR and turn your situation over to him? You don't love yourself until you recognize you had a problem that Jesus can fix. I'm amazed how many people come to church. They came defeated and they went home defeated, because they've never been through the MOR to say, Lord, fix it for me. One of my deacon, Deacon Brown, sang a song one day. He said, is there anybody need a fixing? And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost exposed me to myself. He said, I know you're the pastor. I know everybody think you are all that, plus more. He said, but you need a fixing. And I rest to the altar and humbled myself. And the Lord delivered me. You have a choice. You can choose to go back like you came. You can stay dignified, sophisticated. But I can hear the voice of that old deacon again singing the same song.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Sunday worship here at Christian Love Baptist Church, where our pastor is Reverend Larry R. Turner. We're located at 3515 Hudson Boulevard, Alexandria, Louisiana. We, the Christian Love family, would love for you to come worship with us. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m., followed by our worship service at 11. Come experience our midweek worship service on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Our doors are always open. It's always worth a visit here at Christian Love Baptist Church.
The book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 27, you'll find these words that are written. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Jesus has an encounter with a young man here. Notice what he says. He says in Mark chapter 10, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, good master, watch what he tried. Watch how he tried to smooth this thing over with Jesus. Jesus is going to show you that he knows your heart. He said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Just when you think you have everything together, the Lord will show us that we cannot measure God by our standards, and we cannot measure goodness by our standards. But we have to measure goodness in God by his standards. When you measure yourself by your own ruler, you look pretty good. I don't drink. I don't curse. I don't do this. I don't do that. So, you know, because you're measuring yourself to you, or when you measure yourself to someone else, you look pretty good. But when you measure yourself to the standards of God, That's what the law, that's what the word is. You see, the word is a mirror. It helps us to see ourselves. Otherwise, that's why some of us keep it closed, because we cover the mirror. We don't want to see ourselves. Jesus said unto him, "Why do you call me good? There is none good." He looks right in the man's heart. "There is none good but God." He said, "But thou knowest the commandment, don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't defraud anybody." He says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these I have observed from my youth." I got all of this together. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing you lacking. Go your way. Sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and then thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and take up your cross and follow me." And he said, and he was sad at this saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Where is God in your life? And Jesus looked around about him and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Now notice he didn't say it was impossible. He said it's hard, because people that have great possessions, that becomes their God. He says, and the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said unto him, "Children, how hard is this for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Well, who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God..." Touch a neighbor and say, "Neighbor, we going from a victim to a victor." Come on now, talk back to me. Touch a couple of more people then. If you just can't get it right there, tell us, "Neighbor, you going from a victim to a victor." You may be seated. That's what I want to talk to you today about. I want to talk to you about from a victim. I took the liberty upon myself of looking up the word victim. The word victim means one that has been swindled. One that has been robbed. One that has had much taken away. I hear somebody think, "So, Pastor, we haven't had offering yet." Yes, you have. Because if you've given your heart, see, if God doesn't have your heart, he doesn't have access to your pocket. Let me give you the memo, just in case you hadn't got it. God doesn't need your money. Amen. So if you're going through your life trying to hide it and protect it from God, he doesn't need it. The Bible says that our Father owned the cattle of 1,000 hills. I often say this, if God ever got in need for money, he can cash in the cattle of 1,000 hills. He could go and pawn the streets of gold. From a victim to a victor. One that has been swindled. That definition really caught me, because it goes to John 10:10, where Jesus gives the devil's, Satan's agenda in your life. He said, "The devil come not but to steal, to kill, and what?" You see, that's Satan's main focus in your life, is to steal, is to swindle you, to kill your joy, to kill your belief, to kill your worship, to kill your praise. If Satan kills your joy, if he kills your worship, if he kills your praise, Then he comes along and injects depression. You start to doubt. You start to wonder if God even hear my prayers. What is it that does, you see, sometimes in your life, heaven does get silent. God does that purposely in your life. He gets silent simply because he wants to know the things that he taught you before. Did you get it? And so it means to a victim is swindled out of their possessions. Be not deceived, my brothers and my sisters. Satan is going to do everything he can to swindle this message from you today. Don't fool yourself. He's going to do everything he can when you leave here, or even in some cases before you leave. Steal, to snatch, to rob you of, because he does not want you to grow. See, he does not ever want you in devotion. The deacon read Ephesians 6. That you'll see in a Roman soldier, he had 6 pieces of armor. And those 6 pieces of armor protected him. And you need to know, one of them, he said, to protect you from the fiery darts. A fiery darts, I want you to know, Satan is not only after you. Satan is after your whole family. He's after the born and the unborn. Y'all better talk back to me. Don't fool yourself. He has plans and a plot for those who are even unborn. Because he wants to do everything that he can to victimize you. You see, when you become a victim, that means that you become helpless and harmless. So you think. You get to a point to where you are willing to be tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine because you don't know the word. You don't know what you have. You don't know what you have. See, you don't realize that you are in possession of 6 pieces of deadly armor. Some of them are offensive. Some of them are defensive. Your breastplate of righteousness, that's defenses. Your sword of the spirit, which is the word, is offensive. You see, you can put something on him with that word. But many of you are walking around with your sword in its sheath. You're walking around, you got on 6 pieces of armor, you're looking good, you're walking tall, but you ain't doing nothing. Talk back to me. Some folk are just talking loud and ain't saying nothing. I mean, you're walking around here, you're looking good, you got a big Bible under your hand, or you know the scriptures, but guess what? Every time Satan attacks you, you turn and you run. So you have to understand that those 6 pieces of armor were given to you because you are going to be continually in battle. Somebody say in battle. See, you wrestle not. Let me tell you, since you've gotten saved, let me give you another memo. Since you've gotten saved, the war is on. This is why some people come to church and then quit coming to church, because they feel like, well, I got it together, everything. No, Satan said the battle. That in this war, I need to tell you that it's a spiritual war, so there is no cessation of hostilities. In other words, you can't sit down with Satan and y'all reason together and say, look, you don't mess with me today, I ain't going to mess with you tomorrow. We'll just leave each other alone for 6 months. There is no cessation of hostilities. There is no peace agreement. You are an enemy of the devil. Listen. There's sometimes, doesn't it seem, haven't you gotten it yet, that after every battle, after one, if it ain't one thing, it's another one. It's because Satan is constantly reminding you that you sleep and he's awake. Watch this. And so to be victimized means to be swindled. Now, Every believer has to realize, thank you, Jesus, every believer has to realize that you are a victor. Every believer has to come to the realization that I'm a victor. If I'm a child of God, every believer has to come to the realization that the battle is not yours. You're in it, but it's not yours. Every believer has to come to this realization that the victory is already won. Let me help you. Let me go down a little bit further then. Every believer has to come to the common knowledge that the deck is really stacked in your favor. Touch the neighbor, your neighbor, say, neighbor, the deck is stacked in your favor. Well, how did that happen? Jesus said on Calvary, it's finished. Somebody didn't get that yet. Let me go back and hurl that back out there again. The deck is stacked in your favor because Jesus said on Calvary, it's finished. The work of your salvation is complete. In other words, every battle that you get in. In fact, let me throw this out here just for free. There are some fights God gonna put you in that He know you can't win. Woo! There are some fights that God is going to put you in that He knows you can't win. And He's going to allow you to get beat up, battered, and bruised sometimes so that you will learn to use what you have. He gonna sit back and let the devil pop you every now and then, pop you to the left, pop you to the right, pop you when you're up, pop you when you're down, pop you when you lay down, pop you when you get up. He's going to allow the devil to do that simply because you don't realize what you got. You don't realize that you have the word of God and you don't know how to use it. And so you become a victim. Anger sets in now when you're a victim. Unforgiveness sets in when you're a victim. You don't have any joy. Negativity sets in when you become a victim. You become judgmental. These are signs of a victim when you become a victim. When you become a victim, you become nosy Rosie. Y'all wanna know who Nosy Rosie is? I know somebody said, well, who is Nosy Rosie? Nosy Rosie is a person that's always in somebody else's business. Paul calls them a busybody. They don't know what's going on in their own world. They have no idea that Satan is wearing them out. They have no idea that they're a tool of the devil because they're going here and there from this door to that door, not realizing that they are being victimized, that they are being used by Satan. Let me hurry along, lest I'll overload your wagon. Let me do that. Here, this young man, let me bring him to the text. This young man comes to Jesus. He thinks that he has it all together. He thinks that he's got everything. He thinks that he knows everything. He thinks that he has everything in order. And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus sets him right. He says, all of these things that I've done, I've got everything the way it's supposed to be. And so he was looking to serve the Lord on his terms. Many of us are just like this young man. We come to Jesus and expect to serve him on our terms. We want to serve the Lord and the world. We want to have Jesus as this master on the right hand, and we want to have the world on this hand and serve them. And Jesus simply said it. He got it right in Matthew, in the book of Matthew. He said, you can't serve two gods. No woman can have two husbands. Talk back to me. No husband can have two wives. Somebody gonna go neglected. Jealousies will arise. things will happen in that household. It's not a good household when a man has. Don't let those people in Utah fool you. Those polygamists that has all those different wives. See, they put on segments of that where all of them are sitting down at the table eating together and all of the women getting along. Man, they don't fool me at all. I know it's some stuff going on now. Y'all gonna talk back to me? I know it's some hostility. They just interview this one and that one to say, oh, we're sisters, and they show them all the women and the kids playing together and all that. No, it ain't all that. Don't fall for that stuff. It ain't all that. Anytime you got one man and a bunch of women, that's not a sisterhood, that's a war. Watch this. So God says that you can't have two masters. So a victim starts to try and serve two masters. So he comes to Jesus, he tried to serve two masters. It didn't work because the Lord sees his heart. And the Lord says, listen, first of all, this is what you got to do then. Since you've gotten all of it, he says, take your possessions, sell them, and come follow me. The young man turns around. He walks away. He says, ain't going to happen. Simply because this means more to me, these things that I have. Let me pose this question to you. What in your life means more to you than serving the Lord? Let me pose it in another way then. What in your life has done more for you than God? Don't get quiet on me right now, because that's the point. If you had have a Sunday shout, it ought to be right there. What in your life that you have that has delivered you like God? Come on, talk back to me. What in your life has fought for you like God? What's more important? What is more important? Is a TV show more than God? Is clothes more than God? Is your car more than God? Your house more than God? Are your children more than God? Is your husband more than God? Is your wife more than God? Those are questions that you have to answer. Is God too good to get up for? Dillard's better to me than God? What's better in your life to God? And so Jesus sets the record straight, tells the young man, says, go sell all your possessions, follow me. The young man turns away and shows who his God is. See, whatever is in your life that's bigger and better than God, eventually, somewhere along the line, you're going to show it. Watch this. And so now, from victim to victor, notice that you will find in the first passage, notice that you find in going from a victim to a victor, you see, the word victor means one that is a winner in battle. That's what a victor is. It's one that is a winner in battle. All this week, you're gonna have a battle. You got to decide today whether you're going to be a victim or whether you're going to be a victor. I know this is not a message. I know it's not one that everybody turns flips over, but you have to get this word in you. Why are we constantly hearing the word and not obeying? Why are we getting the word and our lives are still the same? Why are we constantly getting what God has for us and we still where we are? We still running from place to place. We trying to hear what they say, what the Lord say over here. We trying to hear what the Lord say over there. If you be still, God will talk to you. You know, I find why some people run so many places sometimes is because they want to see if they can get somewhere where they can hear what they want to hear. Let me go hear prophet such and such. prophet such and such. Maybe he or she will tell me what I want to hear. God gonna bless me. I'm gonna be the head and not the tail. I'm gonna be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, but I can stay in my sins. Let me share this with you today. Ain't gonna happen. I know for the teachers that's in here, that's not the correct English, but I'm doing it in a way that is what we call Ebonics. Ain't gonna happen. God is not gonna bless your mess. I don't care what you come to hear. Now, God is gonna tell you to get out of it or straighten it up, but he's not gonna tell you, I'm gonna bless you in your mess. If that's what you're waiting to hear at this church, hasta la vista, sayonara, see you later, holla. Avita say, so long, not gonna happen. Simply because in the book of Ezekiel, God holds us, all of us that deliver the word to you, he holds us accountable. Watch this. First point. Watch this. In victim to victor, watch this. You will notice to come from a victim to a victor, watch how God says things has to happen. First of all, Jesus tells them that with God, all things are possible. He tells them that all things, first of all, from one to move from a victim to a victor, there has to be a transformation. Somebody said transformation. Transformation has to take place in the heart. Anybody getting that? The transformation has to take place in the heart. You see, if the transformation does not take place in the heart, then guess what? There can be no renewed mind. The heart controls the mind. The heart, what's inside of the spiritual heart, controls the mind. It controls where you go. It controls your thoughts. It controls where you go. It controls what you think. It controls your desires. If the heart is not right. There has to be a transformation. There has to be a changing of the heart. Watch this. There also has to be a releasing of the past. Somebody still not getting it. There has to be a release. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got to release the past. Past pains. Past hurts. Past failures. Past depression. Past hates, things that happened yesterday. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, put it behind you. Move forward. Grow up. Come mature and not stay immature. We continually rehearsing what somebody did 10 years ago. And all you are doing is giving life to that pain. Y'all gonna talk back to me? All you are doing is keep bringing it up. Whatever somebody did to me 10 years ago, I will not allow it to affect my today. Nor will it affect my tomorrow, because your tomorrow is bigger than what you could ever imagine. Preach, Reverend Turner. God has something for you tomorrow, but you gotta let go of the
here at Christian Love Baptist Church would like to invite you to our Christian Love Family Life Center, located 3515 Hudson Boulevard, next door to the Christian Love Baptist Church. You're welcome to join our fitness center with state-of-the-art equipment. Need a place for a wedding reception, family reunion, or conference space? Well, look no further than the Christian Love Family Life Center. We can meet all your needs with the latest audio and video equipment. For more information, contact Miss Patsy at 318-709-8116 or Miss Linda Johnson at 770-371-3466.